Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
I can't understand why people don't believe me when I say that. Maybe that's why I didn't get my superpowers. It's Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Jhené Egbuemeke. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Now, Jhené, we have got a ton to get to today. We have got the College Football Playoff Committee's final four teams out here, ready to go. People are big mad, as usual, because college football fans just love being mad about everything. So we will simplify the equation as well as we possibly can. We'll talk to one college football coach, and Jeff Munkin from Army, who has legitimate gripes with what's happened in the bowl system to his 9-win Army team, who now finds themselves without a bowl game opportunity that they very much want. But, Jhené, before we get to that, the NFL and everything else, I have to ask, what is this superpowers thing today, and did you get some?
If you don't know, then you don't have them. I'm sorry.
And I very much can tell you I woke up today without superpowers. So if you've got some today, I applaud you. I must have missed the memo on that.
This is my hologram. Jhené is out there executing some other forms of business. Clearly.
Jhené has got bigger things to fry than this show right now, so we will deal with the hologram at this point in time. She is more than capable of carrying the load here and helping me out. But Jhené, in the middle of all that that went on this weekend, I had the moment where I looked up and I realized as I'm watching Notre Dame. What's that?
Yeah, I was about to say, are you okay? I forgot. I never did a wellness check on you this weekend. Obviously, Notre Dame dropped the ball in many ways, more than one, versus Clemson. But I never checked on you. I just want to make sure you're good. I feel like I have to do my thing first and foremost on this show. You have been the number one cheerleader, fan, advocate, coach, shoot, everybody, everything, like, to Notre Dame and the Fighting Irish. Are you good?
No, I'm good because I've never been good. It's sort of like, have you ever heard in the Avengers? Of course you haven't because you haven't seen it, but the Hulk says his secret is he's always angry.
I am an Avenger. Continue.
Jhené, yes, currently an Avenger with her superpowers today. But the Hulk says my secret is I'm always angry. My secret as a Notre Dame fan of why I'm okay is because I'm never okay. I'm always dead inside because I'm used to this happening. But somehow Notre Dame rewarded with the fourth spot in the college football playoff. And yes, Jhené, as I was miserable at the time, I'm better now. So thank you for checking in on me.
Did you eat through your pain?
Oh, of course. I only know one way. I am a Golic, after all.
Lovely. Okay, good. I'm glad you're good.
So I worked through all of that. And as I was eating through the pain, Jhené, I looked up and I realized something is that during the middle of the ACC championship game that was on Saturday and the SEC championship and all these games we're watching in college football, we had two NFL games going on. We're at that point in the year where the NFL usually spreads its wings and starts to really take over our entire weekend. And so there's a ton of NFL news to get to, but Lord, 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 Jhené, we always find our way back to the city of brotherly love in all of this. Because even in a losing effort, the Philadelphia Eagles are dropped 33-26 by the Arizona Cardinals. But it is not without enough drama that left a easy decision for head coach Doug Peterson, who again named Jalen Hurts the start going into this next week. Jhené, we've talked about it as an opportunity for Jalen, but is this really starting to close the door on Carson Wentz?
Well, I think he sort of closed it on himself. It was one of those situations where I just wish, you know, the athlete, it's almost like Kyrie, right? Like, take the mic away and just let the teams handle their business, and then you'll figure it out behind closed doors. Because when you force it yourself, you know, in the media or even just making these declarations, like we started our Sunday with Carson Wentz, per Adam Schefter, saying that he's not interested in a backup role. Meanwhile, Jalen still has to go out there and do his job. And let's just say that he did his job, even though, like we say on this show a lot, like there's no such thing, at least when we're growing up, you know, we have family members, parents that were in the world of sports. And so they're like, no such thing as moral victories. Well, actually, when you see what this Eagles team has dealt with over the course of this entire season, and then now to have a rookie quarterback step in there and just really do super well when your, you know, long-term quarterback is trying to find himself and sort of, I guess you can say, like flailing against the wind. To me, this is just one of those situations where you're not helping yourself by speaking. And even if this is your intention that you want to make clear, and I'm speaking of Carson, what you do is make Jalen Hurts look even better. And speaking of better, the first rookie quarterback in the Super Bowl era to throw for at least three touchdowns and run for a touchdown in his first career road start. still got the loss, but still I feel like he has the locker room, and that's what Carson Wentz is feeling.
Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chinay Agwumike. That is what Carson Wentz is feeling, and that's why Dan Orlovsky, you talk about me being the poster for Notre Dame fandom on ESPN. No one has rode with Carson Wentz more of the way through than our very own NFL analyst Dan Orlovsky, and yet even he thinks a breakup might be the only chance for everyone involved.
A lot of this is like what you continue to hear about him off the field, especially over the past couple months, that there's this selfishness to him, this lack of leadership, this I was impacted by the second round draft pick of Jalen Hurts. If all that stuff is true, and then Jalen Hurts goes plays well, what makes anyone think that he's going to be mentally in a better place in Philadelphia next year? And then if you're Jalen Hurts and you play good over the next 2 weeks like you have the past 2 weeks, why would you not go into next season and be like, wait, why am I not being given the opportunity to be the starting quarterback, right? And so that's why I think it would be this combative room rather than competitive. And I just think Carson Wentz needs a restart. He needs a refresh because, to me, like in Philadelphia, it's worn on him. And it sounds like the situation of 17 and the MVP and then 18 and Nick Foles taking both those teams to the playoffs in the Super Bowl and then 19 carrying the team and then the second round pick, like it just seems like he's mentally been worn out, or at least it sounds like it, and that he wants out. And I just don't see how you can move forward with both those players in Philadelphia.
Chinay, I heard this and my immediate reaction was, man, it's got to be nice to be a quarterback, to think everyone cares so much about you and your feelings that they will just bend to your will in these situations. Because every other position, this happens all the time. But then I sat and thought more about it. And I'm curious because you and I talk a lot about the NBA. We've been talking so much about James Harden and what's going on. And a player that has been paid requisite to a superstar going out here and trying to operate in the way those players do, saying, I do not like my current surroundings. I would like to go somewhere else where I'm going to be in a better situation. While, yeah, going about it through the media like that might be less than savory for a lot of people, especially in football that operates on a different wavelength a lot of times than basketball does, it feels kind of the same if I take my own personal association with dealing with the football locker room and the version of this that tends to come up only from that position. Does it feel similar at all to you than what we're getting from James Harden, than what we see from NBA superstars who make known they don't want to be somewhere?
Yeah, I think what you're seeing throughout sports is just athletes find different ways that are true to them, or at least seems more in their character, of exerting their leverage. In James Harden, he doesn't care by showing subliminals and being on social media and gifting his celebrity friends X, Y, or Z and showing up late to reporting day in the NBA, you know, preseason. Like, that's his method. Carson Wentz, you know, to be fair, he did say that, hey, I'm not here for a backup role. That doesn't mean that I'm not here for Jalen. It just means, like, I'm here for me. Like, I believe in myself. And that confidence has helped him in his career, but it's more so as of late hurt him. And so I see a lot of the similarities amongst athletes and how they're trying to express their feelings. But a lot of times, like, you have to address yourself before you address others. And I think in this situation, when it came to Carson, I don't know if he's fully, like Dan has kept saying, you know, unpacked all the things that he's been through. And then now feels like he has to react when Jalen is going out there and being named again a starter. But, like, you know, I just have this quick question for you, Junior, because I'm like, we all know 2020 is a year like no other. You know, how much is Jalen's success more of a product of what we're in now and, like, sort of the freneticism of what we're dealing with in sports? Or do you think that this is something that Philly will look to and say, you know what, if Carson is pushing the odds this way, then maybe we should, you know, keep a good look and eye, and maybe this is our guy? Because I feel like this year you can't really make to the, you can't make to the jump to those expectations.
Yeah, Chinay, what I would say is this year and the way that we've gotten to this point almost makes it more unlikely for someone like Jalen Hurts to do what he's been doing, not having a full offseason, not having the benefit of so many of the normal parts of a quarterback's life. Any rookie will tell you it's difficult because you go right from the end of your college football season to the combine, to your pro day, to camp, and you don't have time to learn how to be a pro or to make yourself a better football player. You're trying to become a better runner or jumper or sprinter, the things you need for the combine, and so it makes it all the more unlikely. We're wary at times of back half of rookie season success. It got us with Baker Mayfield because you play against teams that have less to play for, but you look at the New Orleans Saints, you look at the Arizona Cardinals, these are teams very much in it that Jalen is going out and performing at a high level. So I'm inclined to believe, Chinay, that given the circumstances, if Jalen keeps playing this way towards the end of the season, it's more of a reason to consider making this a permanent start him next season, or at the very least, make it known it's an open competition because this guy is playing against quality opponents, and he is making it known that offseason be damned, he is here and he is ready for this moment. Chiné and Golic Jr. reminding you to be a part of Chiné and Golic Jr. Nation on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. ESPN Nation's presented by Dr. Pepper. The college football season's heating up, and so is your favorite Dr. Pepper-loving college football town, Fansville. Head to a store near you and treat your inner college football fan to an ice-cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper today. Now, coming up next, Chiné, I will tell you why this weekend I felt more like a soccer fan than I ever have in my entire life watching college football. We'll do that next. It's Chiné and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Chiné and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chiné and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chiné Agwumike. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And guests join us on the show, Pennzoil Performance Line. Going to talk to college football writer Spencer Hall in about 10 minutes here. You can catch him as a part of Thinking Out Loud on the SEC Network every Monday here, breaking down college football. Try and figure out if college football has a problem, because Jason Fitz and I, who you can hear on Spain and Fitz, have been having that debate for a while. But Chiné, we got answers at least yesterday from the College Football Playoff Committee. As the final round of their rankings came out, number one, Alabama, number two, Clemson, number three, Ohio State, and number four, rounding out the college football playoff, Notre Dame, the Fighting Irish in this one. So, Chiné, I know you, I think, very kindly consoled me off the top because Notre Dame lost in the ACC championship game this weekend, but you saw that same beatdown take place in Charlotte. And so I'm curious, from someone who doesn't live in college football the way that I do, how surprised were you to see that unfold? Notre Dame losing in big fashion to Clemson, but still finding their way into the top four.
I am not surprised, because you guys are a very, very, I don't want to say privileged bunch, but you guys are like one of the most confident people out there. And so when it comes to schools, and I know from experience, because we're the same way when it comes out west at Stanford, but you know, based on what we have been talking about this entire college football season, Notre Dame had a huge win, even though Trevor Lawrence didn't play versus Clemson. And then even though they lost in the, you know, ACC championship game, they still were one of the most, and I hate the word deserving teams, but based on resume, based on how they won, and also knowing that the committee is looking at, you know, the eye test, but more so the consistency that they exuded, even if it was till the last game where it sort of changed. I feel like I'm cool with it. I think this was pretty much the list that most people understood. I think there's always room for a conversation when it comes to Texas A&M and even Cincy, and just the bigger conversation about the group of five, because I feel bad, man. It's sort of like we can do our best and our best is never good enough. But I want to get your perspective, Junior. How do you feel about, you know, maybe if you take Notre Dame, your allegiance there off, how do you feel about Notre Dame taking the four spot?
Well, I'll do this from both sides of it, Chiné, because I think it's fascinating and a reminder of what this process actually is. If you wanted to make the conference title games play-in games, do it. But until you do, this leaves me feeling a lot like, you know, Americans every year, we go through this every 4 years when we're dealing with something like the World Cup, where you've got the group stages, you've got point systems, and all of a sudden you can lose on a certain day, but if you've got the right amount of points to move on, you find out that you're advancing to the next stage. And we as Americans who aren't used to this reward system kind of look up and go, what the hell's going on in this? That was how I felt. I watched Notre Dame get bludgeoned on a big stage against Clemson in the ACC championship game in a way I feared in the places I don't talk about at parties. And then the next day I woke up and I evaluated the situation like someone looking at it as objectively as possible and said, based on what we know about this team in total of the year, not what we saw yesterday, but what we saw in total, the College Football Playoff Committee got this right. They got this right, and I know that's going to make a lot of people mad, especially when it comes to Notre Dame and Ohio State. But when we look at the task that we were assigned this year and the difficulties of it, I think it was always going to be a tough go. And I think relative to that situation, Chiné, this is a top four the committee can easily defend.
Yeah, and I think what you sort of highlight is the idea that strategy goes into the factor as well. That's why you have a lot of coaches still campaigning, or at least saying, hey, they're on the front lines of saying, this is the game that I want to be a part of, or this is the narrative that we want to shape, so that people perceive this win as mattering more, or even if a loss matters less. Like, and I feel like this is a season where that has mattered a lot more. And I think one conference that sort of highlights that by far is the Big Ten. So how do you feel also about Ohio State getting in there at three, even though they had six wins?
Chiné, I am glad you brought up the interconference politics, so to speak, here, because it has not taken long. Listen to Dabo Swinney, Clemson's head coach, because the matchups now, for anyone that missed it, the Rose Bowl is not going to be played anymore in California. They have moved that game to Arlington. I don't know if it's still going to be called the Rose Bowl, but that's going to be the one semifinal, and the other being the Sugar Bowl in this instance, where Clemson is going to play Ohio State. And so looking into this now and seeing, all right, the matchup that's getting ready to come up here, We have Dabo already getting asked questions about Ohio State. And here was Dabo Swinney, Clemson's head football coach on Packer and Durham, this morning talking about his familiarity with Ohio State. And listen to what he slips in here.
Anytime you are playing someone that you have some familiarity with, that's a positive. You know, you can look back at tape where you've matched up and, you know, just like playing an opponent every year. You know, you go back and you look at your last year's game. Now, you have different people and things like that, but you can still get a feel, you know, plus obviously you're going to study their games this year. That'll be a quick study for us. There were only six, so that'll be a little easier. You know, typically you're going into these games, you got, you know, 13 games to study, so it won't be as daunting of a task there. But, yeah, we're familiar with them. They're familiar with us, and we look forward to it.
Just couldn't help himself in that one, Shanae, reminding everyone just how few games they played. And if that wasn't enough, the final round of the coaches' poll was out here, one of the polling systems that's used in addition to the AP, where Dabo Swinney had Ohio State ranked 11th in that poll. So we'll get to what Spencer Hall thinks of this, the bad blood that leaks over into the college football postseason, and what you brought up. Does the group of five show a problem with the current system or just a harsh reality that maybe people aren't ready to fully take? ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com. We will do all of that after this word from AT&T.
There are a lot of reasons to like AT&T 5G. For example, maybe you're Chinee Ogwumike. Then you like AT&T 5G because you're fast. Maybe you're the chocolate half of Chinee and Golick Jr. Then you'll like AT&T 5G because you're secure. Or maybe you're number 13 for the LA Sparks. Then you'll like AT&T 5G because you're reliable. Switch to AT&T 5G. It's fast, secure, and reliable, and now nationwide. And your girl rocks it each and every day. That's what's powering this show, basically what I was alluding to. AT&T 5G, it's not complicated. 5G requires a compatible plan. 5G may not be in your area. See AT&T.com/5G for you for 5G coverage details. It was so nice that we're going to do it twice, back to back. What was the biggest problem with the latest college football playoff rankings and the bowl season? We will tell you that next on Chinee and Golick Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now. Turn on your phone on ESPN Plus.
Chinee and Golick Jr., the podcast.
Hey.
A tradition unlike any other. DMX Christmas carols. It is maybe the highlight of the holiday season for most of us here. I have a compelling Christian. Woof. Here we go. It's going to start. Yo. This is what happens before the show, Chinee, when Cliff, who's our producer working on the board, is just playing my career lowlights that they have saved in the system.
Oh, speaking of which. We were just coming off of the college football playoff everything. And, you know, these are rematches, right? Rematches of the 2019 Fiesta Bowl and 2016 Fiesta Bowl between Clemson and OSU. And you know what rematch it is, you know, when it comes to the title game?
Go to hell. So this is
2012 National Championship. Junior, didn't you play in that one? You tell me this all the time. Weren't you a part? Because I think the score, 42-12. Okay, sorry. I digress.
Hey, hold on. What happened to everybody love everybody? That was mad disrespectful. Saying, what is going on right now? It's Christmas.
Ever since Shanae got her superpowers, she is unhinged.
Honestly.
You already know, though.
Is this
you
your superpower? Know. Unfathomable cruelty?
It's Clarkina Kent or something like that. Clarkina Kent.
I hate this place.
Can we get Spencer on, please?
It's Chinee and Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr., Chinee Ogwumike. And I promise you, it's not going to get any more normal right now because as Spencer Hall comes in, who you guys can check out as part of Thinking Out Loud on the SEC Network, also download the Shutdown Fullcast wherever you get your podcast. Do it at your own risk. But I have to read this tweet to Spencer and find out if it's the weirdest thing that he's heard in sports this weekend. Because I was telling you guys in the break about the article, I think it was in Elle Magazine, about the woman who worked for Bloomberg who left her husband to be with Martin Shkreli, the pharma bro, who is still currently in prison. Jeff Passan, and Spencer Hall joins us here now on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Spencer, Jeff Passan tweeted this out 5 hours ago. I'm saving this antidote for a story, but screw it. It's too good to squirrel away. Someone suggested that Rays pitcher Tyler Glass now to get angry before starts, that he would get angry before starts. To do this, he would look at pictures of one person. He pulled out his phone and showed me, and that picture was Martin Shkreli. Spencer, is that an effective form of motivation in your eyes?
Oh, absolutely. That man's awful. So why not? Go ahead. Get your anger on. Look at this little twerp who's charging like $9,000 a hit for an essential antiparasitical drug. Do it. However you got to get an edge on, do it. Because sometimes you go into a game where you're going to need an edge. Speaking of Notre Dame versus Alabama,
God, I knew I wasn't going to get away from this one. Spencer, are you? I'd imagine you, as I am the person most dreading watching those highlights in the universe, you might be the person most looking forward to watching those reruns of that 2012 game.
I just like it when a team does something all the way. I don't want you to half-step it. I want you to fully commit to it, right? And I want to say, by the way, I am proud of anyone who takes a whooping. I really am. If you take a whooping and you just take it and you just walk off the field and you get on with your life, right? Like you took a whooping. I'm real proud of you, right? I'm proud of anyone who steps in there and absolutely gets hammered. It's like, well, I got to wake up tomorrow. I got to do this again, right? Like, and I appreciate Alabama for just being the bully, because they were the bully fully. They did not just 90% the bully. Remember, in that game, they started fighting with each other toward the end of the game. And I believe that was the center, Barrett Jones and A.J. McCarron, arguing with each other during the fourth quarter. That's how aggro they were. That's how amped up. So, like, maybe Notre Dame was actually lucky to get away with just losing by that much in the game, because it could have been much worse.
No, I assure you, Spencer, it could not have been much worse. Spencer Hall with us on the show, Pennzoil Performance Line. Again, you can catch him on Thinking Out Loud on the SEC Network here. So, Spencer, in this iteration of the nightmare, Notre Dame goes out and lost this weekend in the ACC Championship game to Clemson and now finds themselves in this fourth spot there. So, first and foremost there, I likened it to almost what the U.S. fans deal with in the World Cup, but any issue with Notre Dame still finding their way into the playoff, even with that result most recently in the committee's mind?
Well, no, because that's not what the Invitational does, right? It's not a playoff. It's an Invitational. What they need to do is they need to put together the biggest audience matchups that they possibly can. Like, there was no reason, by the way, for the last 3 weeks to really go in and say, hey, Gary Barta, seriously tell us what your analysis was behind this. If the question did not involve what's going to be the biggest possible matchups I can put on the bill, because there is no consistent reasoning past that, right? So I don't really think, like, you can't blame Notre Dame for taking that spot. Any other team would have taken that spot. Any other. Coastal Carolina would have sauntered right in. You could have given them no notice, by the way. Coastal Carolina will just show up somewhere, right? They'll just do that. Any other team would have taken it. I don't really blame Notre Dame for that. I blame the system, because the system right now stinks, and they're going to have to completely overhaul it and expand it, which everyone will say was the plan all along, because that's what we do in college football, right? Like, the house falls down, and we go, well, I was going to demolish it anyway. We needed a new house anyway, right? Like, we all act like this was intentional, when in fact, nobody's in charge of the sport.
Chinne Ogwumike, Mike Golic Jr., and Spencer Hall of SEC Network here with us on Chinne and Golic Jr. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests like Spencer join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Lines. And speaking of which, I want to tap into this, because clearly, you know, it seems like you can't make everyone happy in this system, especially those that are a part outside of the Power Five, the Group of Five. Were we really naive to think that a team like Coastal, a team like Cincy, and I know there was some energy, I'm from the Bay Area for San Jose State out there going undefeated, were we really naive to think that these teams actually had a shot?
Yeah, we were naive. I mean, if we thought that at all, because at one point they're going to have to decide whether to expand it to eight simply to keep the identity of the sport together, because right now you can't actually market it as every game matters, because they don't. They absolutely do not. There's about five or six teams that are going to swap this thing forever if we don't step in and say, okay, there's an expanded field. Now, are those going to produce real compelling matchups? Are we going to get games that are going to be lopsided? Yeah. But honestly, I think we'd probably pay for three blowouts between the 8 seed or the 7 seed and the 1 and the 2 for the one upset that we're going to get once every 4 or 5 times we play this. That's how intense that hit's going to be, right? If anyone remembers Boise State defeating Oklahoma, it could be like that. And we still talk about that. Like, that's one of the most legendary games in the modern history of college football. And you could be setting that up every single year and making everybody forget about the inevitable 30-point blowout. By the way, shout out to San Jose State for absolutely torching people on Twitter by putting up a video set to How Bizarre, where they're just having Boise State fans who say they stand no chance and are absolute trash, and then the players kissing the trophy? Yeah, like San Jose State, if you were doing the playoff, I would have given them an invite just for that.
On merit of social media prowess alone, I'm 100% with you on that, Spencer. I think the one outstanding bit of business, and we're getting ready to talk to what I'd imagine is a very upset Jeff Monken here in a little bit here, the Army situation, 9 wins and no bowl game. You talk about the system and the inefficiencies in it. How glaring is this a show of how badly we've gotten this wrong in the bowl system?
As difficult as it is for any team to win 9 games this year, it's twice as difficult for Army to do it. Because think of what they normally have on deck as student athletes, as a course load, as a schedule, as an obligation. It's difficult being a scholarship athlete at an FBS team anyway, and they have the added burden of being a military cadet with a punishing schedule and tons of actual coursework. And they won 9 games. They still did it, even with COVID protocols and everything else that every other team had to put up with. And they don't get to go to a bowl. That's a system that just doesn't work. That's not broken. It's past broken. The system doesn't serve anyone effectively, and it certainly doesn't serve the idea that we're all playing the same sport.
And it's certainly something that people are hoping gets addressed sooner than later, but we know what drives this, and so unfortunately that may not be the case. Check out Spencer Hall as a part of Thinking Out Loud on the SEC Network. Download the Shutdown Full Cast, college football's, the internet's only college football podcast, wherever you get your podcast. Spencer, we appreciate the time, sir.
All right, thanks, y'all. Have a good one.
Oh, yeah, it's a lot going on. And like we mentioned, we will talk to Jeff Monken, Army's head football coach, coming up here in about 15 minutes to talk about their situation to see if they have gotten any sort of hints or leadway as to what might change for their situation. A team that, like, we've talked about this, so many right now are ready for this season to be done for a lot of ways that I think are really understandable. But for the team that wants to keep playing, that actually wants to reward their seniors, this seems like a travesty, and it's one that we hope ends soon.
I know. It's like trying to find an opponent. Like, you deserve to be there. This is the last worry, but instead, this is the way 2020 has been.
It has been, and so we'll find out if that can change. But coming up next, we will also find out and allow some people to unburden themselves. 888-729-3776. 888-SAY-ESPN. Jets fans, unburden your pain here. What stage of grief are you currently in right now? Is there any silver lining to what happened yesterday? A Jets win in 2020, the worst thing that happened to most Jets fans' seasons. 888-729-3776. Jets fans, how you feeling today? We'll get to that next. Chenango Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chenango and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Rams, what are you doing?
Oh, no, you did that wrong. What is you doing, baby?
Oh, no, baby. What is you doing? Los Angeles Rams.
Before I pass it over to you, everyone right now, 888-729-3776. Again, that's 888-729-3776. Jets fans, this is only Jets fans, only fans of the Jets. You guys get the win, but are you still losing? How are you feeling today, Jets fans? Call in and talk to us here on Chenango Golic Jr. Again, 888-729-3776. We want to just check on you. Are you still feeling happy that you won, or are you mourning your number one pick?
I don't think they ever were happy that they won, Chenay. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and Chenay claimed during the break that was her superpower, by the way. Endowed to her today on the 21st, that her superpower would be the ability to get people to call in. But speaking of that, before we get to the hapless Jets, who now can't even tank right in this situation, and the Saints and what we learned about them, the actual good that came out of their loss against the Chiefs, I did see this tweet relative to today, the 21st. LeBron James tweeted today, "Today's conjunction of planets is set for us to reach our highest vibration. If you can, today, meditate and set intention for yourself and loved ones. Stay positive in your thoughts, words, and actions. Ask for balance and love."
That's easy for him to say. He's had superpowers for 36 years.
That's a fair point. That is more than a fair point in here. LeBron James asking everyone else to ask for peace in thoughts and words when he himself has been a walking, living, breathing superhero for going on 36 years. More than fair point, Cam.
That is fair-ish, but like, don't we all want peace? So he's just putting out all the right vibes. Do we have any calls yet?
We do not have any calls yet, so your superpowers are going to be up. I see Cam. I don't know if he's faking this right now or taking an actual call at this point, but Janae's superpowers may be rewarded here and now.
It's on African time. My superpowers kick in on African time.
That is, you know what, and I have just received word from Christine Lisi, who does such a great job for here for us here, getting you updated on everything with SportsCenter, that we need to call Ariel Helwani and get the Bills update right now on how they are doing right now. And I can't believe this. We are going to get to do this courtesy of the superpowers of Chinay Agumake.
Yes!
We are coming in hot right now.
Your team got you down.
It's very sad and very frustrating.
We got you. Because now is your time.
It is an absolute abomination.
Coming in hot with Chinay and Golic Jr.
Coming in hot, brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. We got to pay the bills. Chinay's superpowers are going to help us do that, as is Mike in Florida. Mike, you're on Chinay and Golic Jr. How you feeling today, Jets fan in Florida?
I'm not feeling great, guys. The Jets do what only the Jets can do and lose while they win. Waiting all year for them to do something, and, you know, we're waiting for Trevor, and then they just go out there and then they do what the Jets do. They disappoint their fans every single year.
Mike, we're sorry about that. But yeah, he's absolutely right. And Chinay, we point this out all the time. Like, I don't even feel like we have to say this anymore. Everybody knows the players on that team want to win. Everybody knows the players on that team should get to feel a victory over the course of a season. Years too long and too hard to go defeated in all of this, right? We're good on that.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, an athlete out there is, if they see a win, even when it's like so far from them, a season where you've not got a win this whole time, they're going to fight for that. And that's what we saw. I feel like it's got to be more like, why are the energy more at the Jets? I feel like the energy should be at the Rams. Like, come on, Rams. What is you doing, baby? And it's funny because we're thinking about the odds. I think they had like the 60 to 70% odds with the number one pick. Well, with their win over the Rams, the Jaguars now have 74.2% chance to earn the number one pick. And now the Jets have dropped by over 60% to 25%. Like, again, that's definition of even losing while you're winning.
Yeah, and so it gets interesting now, Chinay, because that percentage there, Trevor Lawrence is the crown jewel of this draft class. When it comes to the quarterbacks, he's believed to be the one sure thing, the John Elway, the Andrew Luck, whatever, however you want to square that up right now.
Cool.
And so if you're the Jets, figured you would enjoy that one dropped in there on both counts. But, Chinay, looking at this now, if they're in the Justin Fields sweepstakes instead of the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes, are you still going through that same rebuild in your mind? Because a lot of people look at Sam Darnold and the talent that might still be there, even if you might part ways with the staff. Chinay, would you be inclined to still go after a Justin Fields, Trey Lance, or whoever would be in that pick for you outside of Trevor Lawrence in the draft for the rebuild here?
Yeah, I feel like Sam Darnold, even how he played yesterday, you still feel like, because he's younger and he hasn't had as much competency around him in the sense that, like, the best situation to develop a quarterback, his coach even said that a couple weeks ago, that you don't think all is lost if you lose, you know, out on Trevor Lawrence. And I do think Justin Fields is intriguing, but still, I mean, there's a guy, if we're going to talk about John Elway and Andrew Luck and even Herbert and all these guys, like, out in the pack, can we talk about Penei Sewell? Like, this is a guy that you can potentially get with the second pick. And I think you talked about him before, you know, earlier this season, saying, like, watch out for this guy. You could get literally one of the best, you know, young lines and then build around there. So if you lose out on Trevor, it's not losing everything. It just means that you have to think about other spots first.
Yeah, Chinay, it's an intriguing proposition because you already have Mekhi Becton, who's been great on the other side here. You're starting to get something out of your draft picks in recent years, the way that they've been able to play. But quarterback is still going to be the position that you've got to fill the need in. And I think this is all about what position you want to put what comes next in, meaning your next head coach, what you do with the franchise at that level. You've heard me talk about all the time how I love what the Cardinals did, aligning Cliff Kingsbury with a quarterback that he wanted. And that's what I feel like you've got to give whoever comes next here. Because if it's still Sam Darnold and you've got this great line, there might be more with Sam, but he's been so hampered by what's gone on in this organization, a constant influx of new coordinators and coaches. It's better for everybody if they part ways here and start fresh. If you're going to really turn the page, then turn it all the way. Let's not do half measures in this.
I'm here for this. Justin Fields, a new coach, basically, is your answer.
Yeah, I think Justin Fields would be the next in line there, or whoever that new coach wants to go after. But I think Sam Darnold, much like Dan Orlovsky said about Carson Wentz, would benefit from a change of scenery in all of this. No new scenery, however, inside of the Superdome this weekend. What did we see from Drew Brees, and did it inspire hope? Next.
Chinay and Golic Jr., the podcast.